श्री श्री राधकृष्ण गौरा श्याम पुनरार कति गिरी गौरदान की जाय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय नवर धाम की जाय मंगल मोहन तुलसी पाठी देवी की जाय नंद गौरी वाई समवेत वाटर वंदी जाय गौर वंदी गौर कृष्ण मधु गौरी धाम ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नमो विष्णुवे कृष्ण सर्वदेव श्रीमति मातृभूमि स्वामी नमने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्दशिष्यन्वारि पाशाचलेशकरणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौरभक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम राम
हरे हरे कृष्ण बाबा क्या बात है कल दूर से चरण दूरदर्श
तेजसा
अग्नियर
महेंद्र
मंगा जय शया महेंद्र Translation, Maharaj Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders any more than one could conquer fire itself. He was so strong he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was as tolerant as the earth, and fulfilling various desires of human society was like heaven itself. Her part is the duty of a king to give protection to the citizens and fulfill their desires. At the same time, the citizens must obey the laws of the state. Maharaj Prithu maintained all the standards of good government, and he was so invincible that no one could disobey his orders any more than a person could stop heat and light emanation from a fire. He was so strong and powerful, he was comparable to the king of heaven, Indra. In this age, modern scientists have been experimenting with nuclear weapons, and in a former age they used for these Brahmastras. But all these Brahmastras and nuclear weapons are insignificant compared to thunderbolt of the king of heaven. When Indra released the thunderbolt, even the biggest hills and mountains crack. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was as tall as the earth itself, and he fulfilled all the desires of the citizens just like torrents and rain from the sky. Without rainfall, it is not possible to fulfill one's various desires on this planet. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, in the sun above, fruit grains are produced only because rain falls from the sky. Without grains, no one on earth can be satisfied. Consequently, an unlimited distribution of mercy is compared to the water falling from the clouds. Maharaj Prithu distributed his mercy incessantly, just like rainfall. In other words, Maharaj Prithu was softer than a rose and harder than a thunderbolt, so this way he ruled over his kingdom. Just as rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Maharaj Prithu used to satisfy everyone. He was like the sea in that no one could understand his depths, and he was like Meru, the king of hills, except he had his purpose. Prabhupada Maharaj Prithu used to distribute his mercy to suffering humanity, and it was like rainfall after excessive heat. The ocean is wide and expansive, and very difficult to measure its length and breadth. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj was so deep and grave that no one could fathom his purposes. The hill known as Meru is fixed in the universe as a universal pivot, and no one can move it an inch from its position. Similarly, no one can even sway Maharaj Prithu when he was determined. Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. His opulence was compared to the Himalayan mountains where all valuable jewels and metals were stocked. He possessed great riches like Kuvera and the treasures of the treasure of heavenly planets, and no one could reveal the secrets, for they were like the demigod of Puranas. Prabhupada Yamaraj or Dharmaraj, as the superintendent of death, has to judge the criminal entities who have committed sinful activities throughout their lives. Consequently, Yamaraj inspected the most expert in judicial matters. Prithu Maharaj was also highly learned and exceedingly exact in delivering his judgment among the citizens. No one could excel him in opulence any more than estimate the stock of minerals and jewels in the Himalayan mountains. Therefore, he's compared to Kuvera, the treasure of the heavenly planets. Nor could anyone discover the secrets of his life any more than the secrets of Varuna, the demigod residing over the water, night, and the western sky. Varuna's omniscience and punishes sins he is prey to for forgiveness. He is also the center of diseases often associated with Mitra and Indra. In his bodily strength and the strength of the senses, Maharaj Prithu is as strong as the wind, which can go anywhere and everywhere. As far as his intolerance was concerned, he was just like the all-powerful Rudra, his national lord Shiva or Sadashiva. In his bodily beauty, he was just like Cupid, and in his thoughtfulness, he was like a lion. In his affection, he was just like the Swayambhuva Manu, and his ability to control, he was like Lord Brahma. In his personal behavior, Prithu Maharaj exhibited all good qualities, and his spiritual knowledge was exactly like Brahaspati. His self-control, he was like the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. As far as his devotional service was concerned, he was a great follower of devotees who were attached to cow protection and the rendering of all service to the Master and the Brahmanas. He was perfect in his shyness and his gentle behavior, and when he engaged in some philanthropic activity, he worked as if he were working for his own personal self. Prabhupada Balaji Chaitanya talked to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Lord honored him as an incarnation of Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the chief priest of the heavenly kingdom, and he is a follower of the philosophy known as Brahmavad or Mayavad. Brihaspati is also a great logician. It appears from the statement that Maharaj Prithu, although a great devotee, constantly engaged in loving service to the Lord, could defeat all kinds of impersonalists and mind bodies by his profound knowledge of the Vedic scriptures. we should learn from Prabhu Maharaj that a Vaishnava or devotee must not only be fixed in the service of the Lord, but if required, must be prepared to argue with the impersonal mind bodies with all logic and philosophy and defeat their intention to answer the truth is impersonal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ideal self-controller or brahmachari. When Krishna was elected to be president of the Rajasuya Yajna performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Grandfather Bhishma Dev praised Lord Krishna as the greatest brahmachari. Because Grandfather Bhishma was a brahmachari, he was quite fit to distinguish a brahmachari from a yavachari. Although Prithu Maharaj was a householder and father of five children, he was still considered to be the most controlled. One who begets Krishna conscious children for the benefit of humanity is actually a brahmachari. One who simply begets children like cats and dogs is not a proper father. The word brahmachari also refers to one who acts on the platform of Brahman or devotional service. In the impersonal Brahman conception, there is no activity, yet one, when one performs activities in connection with the Supreme Personality of God, it is to be known as a brahmachari. Thus, Prithu Maharaj was not a brahmachari and grihastha simultaneously. Picture Saint Anu of Bharati Shu refers to those devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Other devotees must follow in their footsteps. Sri Balanaratam Das Thakur says, "Hey Chai Go Sanjar, Moon Tar Das." He is prepared to become the disciple of anyone who follows in the footsteps of the six Gosamis. Also, like a Vaishnava, Maharaj Prithu was devoted to cow protection, spiritual masters, and qualified brahmanas. Prithu Maharaj was also very humble and gentle, and whenever he performed any philosophical or welfare activity for the general public, he would labor exactly as if he were tending to his own personal necessities. In other words, his philosophical activities were not for the sake of show, but were performed out of personal feeling and commitment. All philanthropic activities should be thus performed. Throughout the entire universe in the higher, lower, and middle planetary systems, Prithu Maharaj's reputation was loudly declared, and all ladies and saintly persons heard his glories, which were as sweet as the glories of Lord Ramachandra. Report the source of words, Sri Naman Rama, and it is the practice among ladies to hear and enjoy the praises of certain heroes. From this verse, it appears that Prithu Maharaj's reputation was so great that ladies all over the universe would hear of it with great pleasure. At the same time, stories were heard all over the universe by the devotees, and they were as pleasing as Lord Ramchandra's stories. Lord Ramchandra's king is still existing, and recently there was a political party named the Ramraja Party, which wanted to establish a kingdom resembling the kingdom of Rama. Unfortunately, a lot of politicians want the kingdom of Rama without Rama himself. Although they have banished the idea of God consciousness, they still expect to establish the kingdom of Rama. Such proposal was rejected by devotees. Prithu Maharaj's reputation was heard by saintly persons because he exactly represented Lord Ramachandra, the ideal king. Thus in the Bhagavad-gita purports of the 4th chapter, 22nd chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, left Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the four Kumaras. Maharaj Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders any more than one could conquer fire itself. It was so strong he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth, and in fulfilling various desires of human society, it was like heaven itself. So this whole section is a praise of Prithu Maharaj, comparing him to different things, and each quality is compared to some particular aspect of things that we're familiar with. In order to show the greatness of Prithu, and in fact that in the last verse he is compared to Ramchandra, who of course is exalted form of the Supreme Lord. So Prithu of course is Jiva, but he's also Shaktivesh avatar, and therefore one would expect him to show wonderful qualities like the Supreme Lord, as other devotees do also. In fact, more than the regular devotees, because he is Shaktivesh avatar. So these qualities that he shows actually are not material. We have qualities like this in the material world, but of course such qualities bind one to the material world. So when we see the qualities of Prithu, which look like the qualities of a king in this world, actually they're spiritual qualities and they're not causes of bondage at all. So we have qualities of Kshatriyas and we have qualities of Brahmins and Vaishyas and Sudras. And so the Kshatriya has to follow certain acts according to his qualities, and in this way he rules the kingdom. But in doing so, of course, he's doing these activities, it is also, these are material activities for him. So there are causes of bondage. They don't get him out of the material world. But the qualities of the devotee, and of course the qualities of the Shaktivedanta avatars and the avatars of the Lord, are not material at all. They do activities that look like the activities of this world. They have qualities that look like the activities of persons in this world, but the effect is completely different. So we should understand that these qualities here are not material qualities at all. The qualities of a Kshatriya are material. They're part of Rajagun, and therefore they're causes of bondage in this world. But the qualities of the devotees and the qualities of Prithu Maharaj, they look like, in this case, Kshatriya qualities, but actually they're not. They're beyond that. So we should not confuse the two types of qualities so they look similar. We can say, oh, he's a Kshatriya, but he's not, because he's transcendental. Kshatriya is a mixture of Rajagun and Sattvagun, but Prithu is not in the gunas. And similarly, the great King Pandavas, for instance, Yudhisthira also is not in the gunas. Arjuna is not in the gunas. So we may be confused because Krishna tells Arjuna, oh, you're not qualified for jnana because you're a Kshatriya. Yeah, so you do karma yoga. So he's saying, you're in the gunas. But no, he's actually not in the gunas. So when such statements are made by Krishna himself, then we have to understand he's only teaching people by this, that those people who are not qualified by spiritual life should act according to gunas. But actually Arjuna, the Pandavas, the Yadus, and the avatars of the Lord, and the Shaktivedanta avatars of the Lord, are actually beyond the gunas. So these qualities are completely different. So definitely, Prithu and Yudhisthira and Arjuna show qualities that look like ideal Kshatriya qualities. And even Krishna will show these qualities. So we have examples of our praises of Krishna where he is generous and he is compassionate. But these are also qualities shown in Sattvagun. Qualities of Sattvagun, even Rajagun, like the Kshatriya is famous for Dan, giving in charity. So he's very generous. Krishna is also very generous. The king is compassionate to the citizens. Krishna is compassionate to all Jivas, but not material quality. So we have to distinguish between mere material and spiritual qualities when we see these descriptions. They look very similar, but different. So one, that the material qualities are generated through gunas. We have three gunas of material nature, and they generate all the qualities of all the bodies, of all the jivas, of all the objects in this material world. And they're causes of bondage. On the other hand, we have Krishna, full of all wonderful qualities. 64 qualities are mentioned in Nectar Devotion. Of course, he has infinite qualities, when 64 are mentioned. So they look similar to the qualities. He is generous and compassionate, considerate, thoughtful and learned, whatever. But not material at all. So the devotees, they worship the Supreme Lord and they develop similar qualities. The example is given of the, there's a certain insect. And it catches another insect and sticks it in a little hole and seals it up. So then that insect in the hole, out of fear of the other insect, he meditates on it all the time. And eventually he comes out and he's transformed into the other insect. So that example is given to show that by concentrating on one particular form, you become that form. So you get sarupya. So not only gets the rupya, you get the qualities. So one worships Krishna, one gets qualities like Krishna. One worships Ramchandra, one gets qualities like Ramchandra. So of course we don't get exactly the same qualities, but types of qualities are similar. So, therefore, those qualities are not material. The devotees develop qualities, but we develop qualities which are spiritual qualities, not material qualities, not causes of bondage in this material world. So therefore, these qualities are praiseworthy because they are non-material. They are like Krishna's qualities. So, therefore, qualities are not necessarily contaminating. They are not necessarily binding. So these are spiritual qualities. So they look similar, but at the same time they're different. So how is it that they're different when they look similar? Compassion, how can it be material or spiritual when it looks like the same thing? So the spiritual compassion is all related to the Supreme Lord. In other words, the jiva is dedicated to the interests of the Lord, and all of his qualities manifest in relation to that, his service to the Lord. In the material world, these qualities are not related to service of the Lord. That is the big difference. Yeah? But it manifested for other reasons. So in other words, they're centered around ahankara. Yeah? Whether they're sattva-guna, rajagun, or tamagun. So it's obvious that tamagun and rajagun, that yes, the qualities are very selfish, centered around trying to enjoy the material world. And sattva-guna, less obvious, because one is detached from material enjoyment more, but not completely detached. So sattva-guna is not free of ahankara yet. So all those wonderful qualities that manifest are manifested around a very subtle form of ahankara only, but still binding. So one of sattva-guna becomes bound up by the conditioned happiness of sattva-guna, and he's very peaceful, sense control, etc. So, relatively speaking, these qualities are much better than the qualities in Rajaguna and Tamaguna, and therefore these qualities are encouraged in people. One should have sattvic rather than rajasic and tamasic qualities. But, still, if we try to cultivate these qualities, we're still in bondage. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, cultivating good qualities is not an anga of bhakti, because it binds you to sattva-guna. So that is why the main principle is surrender to the Supreme Lord, from which all wonderful qualities manifest. So one of the qualities of bhakti is subhada, to manifest all auspiciousness. So that auspiciousness is represented by shadguna, that one develops good qualities. But we should not think those are material qualities. These are actually spiritual qualities. If we develop material qualities, then we're in bondage again. But the other aspect is Taishagni. Bhakti destroys all kleshas, all bondage. So everything, all material qualities are destroyed. So therefore, Shadguna does not mean material qualities, and all the spiritual qualities are developed by the devotee. So in this way, why? Because they are centered around giving pleasure to the Supreme Lord. And they manifest in relation to that. He's a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord, eternal body, not affected by anything in the material world. Yeah, Visuddha Sattva, not Sattva. That's Visuddha Sattva is beyond material qualities. Yeah. Sattva is material, Suddha Sattva is non-material.
What is transcendental service? Are running all the qualities that manifest themselves also devotion?
What's that?
All the sadhaka practice devotion service. The qualities that manifest in your work, that also becomes spiritual.
All the
qualities that the devotees manifest and develop, they are also spiritual, they are not material.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you develop material qualities, you're back in the bondage. So bhakti creates bondage in the material world then. But it doesn't. It takes you out of the material world. So the qualities that are manifest are spiritual qualities.
Is there any difference between the yet and the pre in terms of tolerance, which is mentioned yet?
Sir?
Tolerance, which is compared to yet. Tolerance,
tolerance like the earth.
Yeah, but generally we give tree. But is there any difference between tree and the yet in terms of tolerance?
Oh, well, the earth is often used because it is the most, let's say, big. Everybody steps on the earth, everybody pulls things out of the earth, like that. So the tree is, of course, a localized aspect, but then the earth is everywhere, and everybody steps on the earth every day. So therefore, we can say that it has to show more tolerance than even a tree, because trees in the wilderness, and nobody bothers them, but everybody's stepping on the earth all the time. No,
same
thing. Why Yamras and Dharmaras? Because he instituted Dharma. He's the one who instituted the laws.
He's giving us punishment.
Well, he uses the laws, Dharma laws. If you break the Dharma laws, then he punishes. So he knows Dharma.
And the
Son. Well, according to the Varnashram system, you cannot satisfy everybody's desires. Somebody wants to kill another person, we don't allow them to do it. Yeah? So what that means is, within the limits of that system, in other words, everyone is allowed to maintain themselves properly, make a living like that. They have a right to maintain themselves and, you know, not live at peace. So in that sense, he's fulfilled all their desires. But obviously, we have different classes of people, and they all work in different ways. So, according to the laws. Eventually, that's a long process. Because it is a small portion. They also worship devatas and so many other things. So, it's not, it's there, but it's not the... If it becomes the obvious factor that everybody must worship the Supreme Lord, everything, then it becomes bhakti. Not varnashram.
The earth is so strong, why you say the earth? The earth is tolerating and making people about to adhere.
Yeah, because it doesn't protest. Everyone takes things from the earth, walk on the earth, whatever. But the earth doesn't object. Yeah, possibly. Of course, in terms of long term, yes, the earth will react in long term. But because the karma is involved, you commit violence, you get violence back on yourself. So if you do things wrongly, we get a result for that. So if you take too much from the earth, ultimately you get a reaction for that also.
Well,
we can say that as a reaction for people's sins, yeah. Any natural calamities.
Beyond tolerance level, that the earthquake happens.
Well, whatever, you know, when it sees fit, the Lord will supply some punishment for people.
Even if the earth is not conscious.
Yeah, there's a little personality of the earth.
So who is the personality of the earth?
Bhumi Devi.
Bhumi Devi.
Yeah.
Tingulo sa mani?
Yeah.